Got to tell you, when the idea for this next story came up at a Morning Edition meeting, some people did a double take, asking questions like, can you really do that? Can you really make a steak without killing a cow? Can you really make a steak without ever even growing a cow? It's a question of interest to vegetarians and meat eaters alike. So NPR's Ketzel Levine investigated the world of tissue-cultured meat.
I've had easier stories to tell, certainly more bucolic ones. I'd much rather describe cows grazing in meadows than their cells being grown in labs. In fact, even though the idea has been kicking around for a century, it has never seemed a good time to talk about man-made meat. But it's had some famous proponents, including that pragmatic carnivore Winston Churchill, who in 1932 more or less said this.
How strange it is that we have to culture and grow a whole chicken when all I want to eat is the breast meat. The time will come when we'll be able to culture all the chicken breasts that we wish without having to sacrifice a single bird.
I say more or less because that was a British biologist paraphrasing. We'll meet him shortly. Anyway, Churchill was paraphrasing too, likely inspired by the work of Alexis Carrel. At the time of Churchill's comment, Dr. Carrel had been keeping alive a cultured piece of chicken heart tissue for 20 years. It wasn't overflowing the sides of his bathtub or anything. The Nobel Prize-winning scientist kept the tissue fresh and small. But his experiment, which outlived him, fed many an imagination.
My name is Frederick Pohl, and with Cyril Cornbluth, I wrote the book called The Space Merchants.
In that 1952 sci-fi novel, tissue-cultured meat gets a starring, if inglorious, role. It's the starter ingredient for an ever-growing lumpen food source known affectionately as Chicken Little.
"This is her nest," he said proudly. I looked and gulped. She was a gray-brown, rubbery hemisphere some 15 yards in diameter. Dozens of pipes ran into her pulsating flesh. You could see that she was alive.
Yum. Turns out Frederick Pohl, now almost 90, suspected his novel wouldn't stay science fiction long.
"Actually, when Cyril and I wrote the book, I thought we would see much of it actually happening. Sliced chicken from the delicatessen is probably a lot like the Chicken Little meat would look."
Most carnivores don't fear deli meat, nor do they spend much time at all worrying about where their meat comes from. So pity the malign scientist who, to no one's applause, is knocking himself out this very minute to grow tissue-cultured meat. Yep, it's a happening thing in labs from Norway to North Carolina, and it's being done exactly the same way we already grow patches of human skin. All that takes is a skin cell marinated in a nutrient-rich concoction, and within a few weeks, it's pretty much ready to wear. According to Brian Ford, our former Churchill and author of The Future of Food, we can culture bits of all sorts of distinct tissues.
"But meat is a complex mixture of tissues. Under the microscope, you can see all sorts of gristly bits and fatty bits and muscly bits, and it's this sort of mosaic of different cell types that changes cells into what we know as meat. And that is a problem that nobody has successfully as yet addressed."
But somebody is getting close.
"I personally believe that this is an inescapable future. That's short answer."
Vladimir Mironov is a biologist at the Medical University of South Carolina and among that handful of scientists culturing meat from animal tissue. Dr. Mironov's long answer involves turning formless, textureless patches of the stuff into mass-produced form, like meat sheets, or what we might call affectionately, schmeat. What stands between Dr. Mironov and schmeat right now is production models, production facilities, venture capital, oh, and consumer demand.
"Does people want this? Does market ready? That's the main question. Technology, I think it's doable, and it's, if you have reasonable investment, it can be done. But the question is, you can create product which nobody wants to buy, or it's too expensive to buy. So the right timing is everything."
Okay, so is this the right time? One unlikely nonprofit says yes, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. PETA recently announced a $1 million contest to create commercially viable chicken meat, sacrificing neither chicken nor egg. The deadline is 2012, the contest rules Herculean, and the prize money paltry. But the thinking is pragmatic. If people must have meat, and factory farming's an animal nightmare, why not find a high-tech alternative? Peter Singer, author of the 1975 treatise Animal Liberation, is all for it.
Yeah, I mean, I've always thought it would be a good thing. The same way that I think it's good that the abuse of horses for pulling loads has ended. So I think it would be good if the abuse of animals for raising them for meat were to end, because we had a technological solution to that. We had an alternative.
Tissue-cultured meat just doesn't make sense to me. I think it's a very bad idea.
Not a surprising response from the Union of Concerned Scientists. Molecular biologist Margaret Mellon believes that all our food should be grown lightly on the land, using the riches of the earth and the power of the sun, not in a factory.
Picture it. You've got a big compound of buildings with scientists running around tending big vats of cultured cells, making sure that they're all at a constant temperature, that the cells are being kept sterile. I mean, where does that energy come from? That's a lot of fossil fuel.
So here's a recap of opinions on the state of Schmeat. It's animal friendly, but bad for the environment. We have the how to, but not the how come. Unleashing unknown technologies is fodder for nightmares, and at least one carnivore thinks it's real meat.
If it looks like muscle, if it smells like muscle, if it tastes like muscle, that's muscle.
Which brings up one last point, the taste of Schmeat. Chicken, right? Not so, says a source who has sampled tissue-cultured turkey. It tasted like turkey. Ketzel Levine, NPR News, on the Schmeat Beat.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.